I will start doing tonight and then hopefully do pretty much every single day until Pesach is to prepare slowly, you know, for the Haggadah this year, for different themes, ideas that come out of the different paragraphs, both some ideas also, as we're going to see at least tonight and also in other nights, even just to ask some questions that we'll present some answers to, but there are other answers to as well, in hope of, again, kind of slowly preparing for Pesach. We will have a chance probably right before Pesach to have, we did like a mock Seder, where we did like a lot of Divrei Torah in one night, but this is more to kind of, that's like a lot at once, and it's great, but it's, you know, it's good to also be able to think over these ideas, not all at once. If you look, here you just have two sources, and the reason why we're going to hopefully give out source sheets most nights is so you actually have the text, you actually have it so you can look back at it, you know, before the Haggadah. And if you look at the first source, and only two sources on the page, it's the Rambam, at the end of Hilchos Chametz Matzah, the Rambam writes his Nusach HaHaggadah, meaning his text for what the Haggadah is. It's very interesting the way the Rambam starts it. It says, Nusach HaHaggadah, the text of the Haggadah, Shenahu Guba Yisrael, that the Jewish people had the custom of reading, of saying, Bizman HaGalus, specifically during the time of Galus, Kachu. Specifically during the time of Galus is as follows. Already the Rambam is telling us that there's a difference between the way the Haggadah is said in Galus versus when the Jewish people are in Eretz Yisrael, and specifically not just in Eretz Yisrael, but in Eretz Yisrael with the Beis HaMikdash. The Rambam starts off by saying, this is the beginning of Magid, Matchil al kos sheni v'omer be'behilu yatzanu mitzrayim. Start off with the second kos, or saying it over the second kos, say that basically we very quickly left Egypt. What do we say immediately after that? Halach ma'anya. The paragraph that we still say today, it's the beginning of Magid, that, you know, this lechem oni, this poor man's bread, dachlu avasanabar de Mitzrayim, that our ancestors ate in the land of Egypt, kol dechvin yesevi yechol v'chol ditzrich lefesach yesevi yefsach, anyone who wants to eat should come and eat. Shasa hacha shana haba ba'ara de Yisrael, which we have hashasa hacha, meaning now we are here, but next year, we're going to be in Yisrael. We're going to be in Israel. Shasa hacha, again, hashta hacha. Now we are here. Avde, as you know, enslaved in galus. Lishasa daasya, in the next year. Lishasa meaning the next shana, the year daasya that is going to come. I mean the next year. B'nei chori, we will be free. Interestingly, and I didn't put it on the pages because it's it would have been very very lengthy. But when the Rambam in the halachos, not where he goes over the text of the Haggadah, but in the halachos, when he says what is part of the Haggadah, never mentions this first paragraph of Halach Ma'anya. Never mentions that this is really part of it. There are other parts of the Haggadah that are very much part of it, certain of the Psukim, Pesach Matzah, and Maror, etc. But this part is not mentioned in that rendering of the Haggadah in the earlier sections of the halachos. And it's interesting that seemingly the Rambam is saying here is that this element of the Haggadah, specifically, Halach Ma'anya, I mean, there are certain elements of the Haggadah we would say every single year. No matter where we were, even if we had a Beis HaMikdash, we would still say them. There are certain parts of the Haggadah that are only Shayach in Galus. We're not even going to say outside of Eretz Yisrael, because again, this would even require a Beis HaMikdash. But there are certain paragraphs that are even relevant outside of the context of, or sorry, are specifically relevant outside the context of a Beis HaMikdash. We would only say in a state of Galus. And Halach Ma'anya happens to be one of those paragraphs, which already is like an interesting idea. I mean, this paragraph, which we start off Magid with, meaning again, beginnings are important as far as that goes. Meaning it sets the tone in a certain way. This is not even something we always say. We say in the current state that we're in. The Rambam's already telling us, wait, but we're not always going to say it. It's very interesting. It already makes Halach Ma'anya like a very intriguing paragraph. Like, why exactly do we say it? Why exactly do we add it? What message is it trying to get across? There's a beautiful pirush on the Haggadah, which we have partially quoted here, called the Masa Nisim. The Masa Nisim is just the name of the name of the commentary, but the commentary was written by Rav Yaakov Loberbaum of Lisa, who was the author, most famously, of the Nesivos HaMishpat, in learning specifically the Nezikin section of Shas. So there are two very important achronim who are quoted a lot, the Ketzos HaChoshen and the Nesivos HaMishpat, they often argue on each other. Nesivos was someone who was a titan in the world of Gemara, Halacha. He even wrote on Tanakh commentary. He was a very prolific writer, and he also wrote a beautiful commentary on the Haggadah. So I want to go through his piece just for a couple of minutes. Again, both for the questions that he asks and the kind of the approach that he develops, which I think is very beautiful, and specifically, I think, beautiful for this year, maybe even more specifically. So first, there's a little bit of a question of what's the correct girsa? Is it ha lach ma'anya, or is it ha kilach ma'anya? The difference being, this is the bread, or this is like the bread. Again, how similar is it? How not similar is it? So the Nesivos, as well as some others, have the girsa of halt kilach ma'anya, which already in and of itself is an interesting idea. It says lavo al biur hapiskazos. Let's explain this paragraph. It says nachtim hasvekos sharamdu aleim hamufurashim vehim elu. So there are a bunch of questions that people have on this paragraph. So let's list a few of them. These are just interesting questions, and he's going to present his answer, obviously, but just interesting questions to be thinking about. Aleph lama nisader b'lashon arami. Why is this written in Aramaic? The rest of the Haggadah is written not in Aramaic. Again, if the whole Haggadah was written in Aramaic, I would get it. That would make sense. But choose one or the other. That's a very classic question. Number two, Lama Tiknu Hakarus, Kol Dechvin Yosev Yechol, Shehu La'aniyim. Why do we basically call out, saying anybody who's hungry, come and eat? Again, which is a call to those who are poor, who do not have what to eat. Davka B'chaga Pesach. Why do we say that specifically on Pesach? Velo B'shar Chagim. And not on other holidays. Ha v'samachta b'chagecha al kol hamoadim ne'amar. We have this idea of v'samachta b'chagecha. That's true about all of the chagim. One of the quintessential ways of being sameach on a chag is being b'sameach others, and specifically being b'sameach aniyim. So why specifically do we have this idea on Pesach of inviting people in, if in theory Simcha Shel Yom Tov should apply this concept over to all the holidays? Number three, Hacharas Hazeh, this calling out to all the aniyim to come in. Hayaroi Lios Bachutz Bachutz Lene Lani HaPesach. That's a spelling error. HaPesach Shishmu aniyim Viavo. So this question is basically we're calling out to the aniyim in the wrong place and at the wrong time. Where should you call out to the aniyim? You should have gotten when we go out to call to welcome in, Eliyahu. So that's like the better itza. If you actually want to invite people in, so go and actually invite people in. Don't lo b'bayis achar shekvar sagar haPesach. Don't call out to the aniyim after you've already closed the door and you've already, gone inside. Val kol panim, and not only is the place wrong, you should have called outside versus calling while you're already inside. The time is wrong also. Hayelo lios kodem makidush kidei shegam ani yatsa yidei chovaso bekidushe. Vikarpas. Meaning, again, we've already started the Seder. Meaning, by the time we get up to Magid, we've already done a bunch of stuff. So what? It's like, now we're going to call the Ani in. It's like, you should have called the Ani in earlier. Well, we've already drank one of the Kosos. Why are we waiting until now? Number four. Lama Karu Lechem Oni. Why do we call Matzah Lechem Oni? Poor man's bread. Bread of my affliction. And hey, Masha Amar Diachalu Avansan Ba'ar Di Mitzrayim, Sherei Lo Achlu Bi Mitzrayim Achi Yatsu, Sharei, Nishu habatek tsiroros al shechmam. Why do we say that this is the lechem, this is the bread that our ancestors ate in Egypt? We didn't eat matzah in Egypt. We ate matzah when we left Egypt. We didn't eat it inside. Again, you kind of had the matzah tied to their backs as they left. So how is it, the Haggadah saying that we ate it in Egypt? Yeah, maybe a little more of a technical question. Lama b'chefel hashata hacha v'gam hashata avdei. Why do we have this kind of like double language of now we're here next year in Yerushalayim, now we're slaves, next year we'll be Bnei Chorin. And number seven, which goes back to the Rambam that we just mentioned, Lama lo amra perek zeb is mancha beis hamikdash hayakayam k'mevur b'rambam b'nusach ha'agadah. Why did we not say this paragraph when the beis hamikdash was standing, again, as we saw in the Rambam? So seven different questions that he asks. Again, all of them are good questions, and there are many different answers one could propose to all of them. In order to answer them, he makes three introductory points. Introductory point number one. It says, V'yashik calls that Naktim. We have to introduce. Ki yadua shirai v'nachon la'eved asher ba b'masar me'adonav ve'otziu b'chasto. That we know that when a slave, essentially a servant, is in a state of being like imprisoned or in bondage, and then his master basically takes him out, in with you know through his chesed, through his kindness. Sheyesh l'smoach b'yom yitziyaso. That of course one should be happy, one should be sameach on the day that the person that the slave leaves from servitude. Ulahodos ulavarech misho tzio, to praise and to thank the one who took him out. Beitzilo b'chasto mehamasar, and to praise and thank the one who saved him from being imprisoned, from being enslaved. The gam teva adam mechayiv shetavo simcha b'libo be'ish sheniskar, and also whenever one remembers essentially this moment or that this happened, the person naturally is going to feel a sense of happiness. V'kol shekein b'yom ha'yetziyah, again even more so on this specific day and even commemorating the day that the person was freed. Amnam, however, ein midarach ha'adam af sheyetzei pam achas mehamasar kishechazar v'nechbash b'beis ha'asurim gadol meharishon l'smoach b'rikudin u'mecholos b'soch b'beis ha'asurim. When the slave is very happy, or when the prisoner is very happy that they were freed on this day. So let's say now that former prisoner now is imprisoned again, but in a prison that is much, much worse and much, much more horrible than the original prison was. So the person was freed on January 1st, and now it's January 1st, and the person's in an even worse state. It wouldn't make any sense for the person to be happy in that moment, to dance, to play instruments, etc., while the person's in jail. Hey, it was really great that I was saved, but okay, I'm in jail again. I'm not going to be so happy that I was saved at some point if I find myself ultimately back in the same place. Because the person is now, again, stuck again in prison. So what's so great, essentially? What praise is there to say about the previous time that they were taken out? Again, the person's back in a state of slavery. That's point number one. So number one, it's natural to be happy and to thank the one who took a person out of prison. On the other hand, if the person then is back in prison, so how much is that really, how much is the first time being taken out, how much does that really register? That's hakdama number one. Hakdama number two, ki yadua kishayish la'adam simcha gedola, shemidarcho laharbos ulahazmin reyim vahuvim lasu simcha umishta. That we know that when a person is very, very happy and has a great simcha, so what do? They invite friends, they invite close friends, they invite loved ones over to help, again, create a happy environment, to make a feast. And the more a person is happy, the more the person is going to want to share in that simcha with others. Interesting reference to Mishta Achashverosh, but basically meaning Achashverosh, again, that's kind of what he was doing, everyone to get involved in his big Mishta. That's number two. Number three, Yadua Mashikas Vukal Mefarshim Shagamba Avodas Mitzrayim Hayu Ochlim Matzah. We know that even at the time that they were enslaved in Egypt, not just when they left Egypt, but even when they were still enslaved in Egypt, they would eat matzah. It wasn't just that they had very little time for their bread to rise when they left Egypt, but again, they were slaves. So the Egyptians wanted to keep them on a tight work schedule, and therefore with matzah, so They had matzah instead of bread because their bread did not have time to rise even when they were in Egypt. And that's a simple explanation that answers that question. That's why it's called lechem oni. It's called poor man's bread because, again, it's called lechem oni because they were very poor, meaning they were slaves. They weren't given the time to actually make real bread. This was the bread they actually ate in Egypt. Okay, so you have those three points of hakdama. Now he develops the following idea, which I think is very beautiful. It says, "V'achri hakdamos elu navo el biur ha'piska." Now that we've gone through the hakdamos, the introductions, this is the explanation of this paragraph. Shepiska zu, this paragraph, nitkan achar chorban beis hamikdash, was instituted after the destruction of the beis hamikdash. Why was it instituted after the chorban beis hamikdash? L'man yon lo yispala lev ha'adam al asher anu osim mishta v'simcha bekosos v'seuda al simcha seitzias mitzrayim. In order that a person not be bewildered by the fact or confused by the fact that we're making this big mishta v'simcha, this great festive meal with wine and a lot of food, celebrating the happiness of Yetzias Mitzrayim, v'harei akati avdi achashverosh anan. Even though we are still, again, quoting the Gemara in Megillah, that again, even after Purim, we're still one of the kind of downsides or the negative attributes of the miracle of Purim was that we were still We don't come out the other side in Geula. We're still Avdei Achashverosh. So basically what the Baal HaNesivos HaMishpat is saying here is that one could have thought, based off like the mashal that he gave in the first Hakdama, that you might have thought, again, why are we celebrating Yetzias Mitzrayim? If we're still enslaved right now, if we're still in Galus, the Yosinu Shkuim, the Galus Hamar, we're very ensconced in and stuck in a bitter Galus, Vanimaher, again, it's not normal for a person basically to celebrate a previous time that they were saved when now things are so bad. Pretty much, how could we be celebrating Yetzias Mitzrayim? Or a person could think, how can we be celebrating Yetzias Mitzrayim even now when there's Korban Beis HaMikdash, when we're in a very bitter galus? Then he says, Lazem Maktim, and because of that, we start off Magid as follows. This is the bread of the poor man's bread, the bread of our affliction that our ancestors ate in Egypt. Perush. Hagam shim heyos ki asuda hazos hu mamish kalach ma'anya shvi mitzrayim, ki asuda nikra al shim halachem, kmo madua lo ba ben Yishaya el halachem, vimkein meharoi haya shalo lismoach. When we say halach ma'anya, we're referring to the bread, not that we ate when we left Egypt, not like the positive connotation. We're referring to the bread that we ate in Egypt, the bread of slavery. And what are we saying? This bread which we're eating, which mimics the bread that our ancestors ate when they were slaves in Egypt, not when they were leaving Egypt. I mean, also factually, when they were leaving Egypt. But here we're referring specifically to they're eating it in Egypt. That's what defines our meal. And what type of meal is this? It's a type of meal that we eat in a way with heavy hearts. In a way, it almost feels like it would be fitting for us not to be happy. We're so stuck in galus, in a very bitter galus. We're eating the Seuda B'Lev Mar with bitter feelings in a certain way, the same way that our ancestors ate in Egypt. The same way that when they were slaves, they probably ate with a pretty heavy heart, with pretty bitter, bitter souls in a certain way. Masha Inkin, Bisha Shebes HaMikdash Hayakayam, Lohayu Omrin Parakzeh, Biyosan Ochlim, Bisimcha V'Tov Lev. Kimat Shachlu Bisha Hayatziah, Vein Omrin Parakzeh, Rak Bisha Sechorban, Kain Nireli. As opposed to when they did not say this paragraph. When did they not say this paragraph? When there was a Beis HaMikdash. Why? When there was a Beis HaMikdash, what type of matzah did they eat? Again, the same physical matzah, but a very different experiential matzah. Meaning, it was the matzah that they ate when they left Egypt. A happy matzah. A matzah that exhibits gula, not gullus. It says, Lazeh Amar HaMagid Liyashiv Zeh. And that's why the Magid, meaning the author of the Haggadah, specifically puts this paragraph in of Halach Ma'anya. Even though, again, it's not normal for a person to celebrate a past kind of past geula, a past redemption, when they're currently in a state of galus. That first geula was not just a one-time thing. If that first geula promises, muftach, it's a promise, 100%, that without any doubt, eventually, this galus is going to end, and we are going to be redeemed from this galus. Of course, if that's the case, if not only, again, it wasn't just a past geula, it wasn't just a past redemption, but it was one that guarantees a future redemption, so then, of course, simcha is still ra'oi, it's still fit to be happy, even when you're stuck in the depths of a new galus. A new affliction. In a way, the in simcha gedola mizu. In a way, there's no greater expression of the simcha of Yetzias Mitzrayim than the expression of simcha that we have when we are in Egypt itself. Than when we are in Galus itself. Al Yetzias Sha'avra. Kimat Shabatuach Bevada Yetzai Gam Achshav. Because the simcha, specifically from a state of Galus, is a simcha of being batuach, of being totally, totally sure, totally guaranteed that we are also going to leave now. That we are going to be redeemed from this galus as well. V'zel ma'amaru asher hayos shehi kilach ma'anya diachalu b'ar dimitzrayim ba'atzvus. Mikol makom, even, and this is basically why we say, this is like the bread of affliction that our ancestors ate in Egypt. in a state of atzvos, in a state of despair. Mikol makom tegadel hasimcha. When we're having it now, when we're eating it now, even though it's in a state of galus, there's the simcha of us being promised that this is going to happen again, that we are going to be taken out of this galus. And that simcha grows and grows in our experience. Ad geder shechol dechvin yisev yechol. Until we get to the point, everybody, come in and eat. Ki ish asher levavo sameach besimcha gedela. Which is a level of someone who is very, very happy, someone who is very, very overjoyed. She'in la shi'or bevadai marbe mzamnin lesudaso kol dechvin. Who's basically saying, I'm so happy that I'm not inviting two people, I'm not inviting 10 people, anyone. As many people who want to come in, come in and eat. Come in and eat. How are we able to celebrate even in a state of galus? Because hashata hacha, even though now we are here in galus, we are promised next year we'll be in Eretz Yisrael. That even though we are slaves now, l'shana haba. Because through Yitzias Mitzrayim, Hashem acquired us for His nation. And the entire world saw Hashem's glory and splendor. And even if we are not worthy, Hashem will still redeem us in order for it not to be a chilul, desecration of His own name. Why should Mitzrayim say? Why should the nation say Ayei Elokeihem? Like, where is their God? And basically, the idea that he develops is therefore, and that's why we have this entire kind of flow of this paragraph. We start off by saying we're acknowledging the fact that it's a little bit strange. It's a little bit strange that we're celebrating even though we're still in Galus. However, then the Baal HaAgada makes a sharp turn and says, don't let that thought kind of disqualify this experience. If anything, it's exactly the opposite. Even though naturally you wouldn't think it's appropriate for a person to be celebrating a past, geula, a past redemption, when they're currently back in galus, when they're currently back in exile, no, that's specifically the best time to celebrate, because that past redemption was not just a one-time thing. It was a promise. It was a promise that's going to happen again in the future. And specifically in a state of galus, one can be even more besimcha, because that's specifically when you have to rely upon that promise of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And therefore, that's why we go from Halach Ma'anya, specifically into Kol Dechvin Yisev Yechol. We're showing everyone coming to eat. There's a certain happiness here. There's a certain bitachon that we have, not that bitachon that we have, but that we're muftach, that we're promised, that we're guaranteed that Hashem is going to do this again. Everyone coming to eat. This is a great simcha. Hashata Hacha, L'shana haba, Bar Adir Yisrael. We say that not just as in a pipe dream. This is the whole night is about the fact that Hashem did this. Therefore, we're promised that this is going to happen. This is going to happen again. This first explanation is very, very, I think, very powerful. Specifically in this year, where again the whole year, all the chagim really have been colored by everything that's going on. Again, even though we have, thank God, Eretz Yisrael, still again, the war and all the all the outgrowth of it and all the consequences of it certainly make one feel a strong sense of galus, a strong sense of we're not yet at the geula, as far as current events go. And I think that this first approach, which is I think very, very powerful, says that's something we have to contend with. Again, all we ever know is a Seder that's in a state of galus. Even if we've been in Eretz Yisrael for Pesach, we still don't have a Beis HaMikdash. We haven't experienced the full Pesach with the Karban Pesach and everything that comes along with. So we don't really understand that what we're doing is in a way a little bit strange. That it's not kind of the norm. And what the Nesivos, at least in this first explanation, is sensitizing us to is that, no, it's not the norm, but that actually gives a greater opportunity in a certain way to highlight a very specific theme. That what Yetzias Mitzrayim does is it promises us, no matter how much galus we may experience now, there's still a reason to celebrate, because we're not totally left to our own devices. We know that HaKadosh Baruch Hu still is watching over us, and that eventually we are promised an ultimate geula, an ultimate redemption. If you look at the very final paragraph, he quotes a different Perush, which is actually seemingly the exact opposite, but also very interesting. He says, Uval Maase Hashem, Perush Bazeh, quoting another Haggadah, another Perush, She'inyan HaKalach Ma'anya Hu Ki'inyan Kina. Actually the exact opposite. It's like a Kina that we say on Tisha B'Av. It's like a lamentation. She'niskan B'Bavel, it was instituted in Bavel, L'kayim Ma'ashin Emar, in Lo A'ales, Yerushalayim, Arush, Simchasi, Tehainu B'zmanchu Yisamesh HaYakayim, HaYapesach, Nechal, Raklam, Nuyav, We're basically lamenting the fact that it used to be, there's a whole question about this, of how can we invite people in to eat during the Seder with us at the point of Magid, because in order to eat the Karban Pesach, you have to already be part of a group on the 14th. There's some interesting creative answers about, like, whatever, we won't get into it right now, that try to answer that question. And we're basically lamenting the fact that, yeah, we're at a state where we're just eating matzah, anyone can come in and eat matzah. We're kind of lamenting the fact that we're saying anyone can come in. In an ideal state, when we were having the Karban Pesach, we wouldn't say kol dechven yisev yivsach. Everyone already found a group yesterday. Ki ein achshav pesach v'ein kan menuyim. We don't have specific people who are part of specific groups for eating Karban Pesach. And the end of the paragraph, the last line where we say this year we're here, next year in Yerushalayim, this year we're Bnei Chorin, and next year this year we're slaves, next year we'll be free. So that's already again a little bit of a nechama, where we're trying to say, okay, this is a kinah, meaning there's something major lacking here. This is not the Seder that we want to have. This is not the Pesach that we want to have. And the Nechama is, again, I think, consistent with the first explanation that he gave himself. That, okay, despite the Kinnah, despite the fact that this may be, again, a very, very difficult way to have a Seder, really not the ideal, and we're, again, the word Kinnah is a very, like, evocative word. It invokes Tisha B'Av, which is very not generally the way we approach Pesach. But even with that, there's still a Nechama. There's still a Nechama. And the Nechama is, again, that promise, that same promise that he himself was talking about, of the fact that HaKadosh Baruch Hu did this to save us from Galus Mitzrayim, so too HaKadosh Baruch Hu will do this to take us out of our current Galus and to bring Mashiach and to bring the Beis HaMikdash back. And I think these two different ideas, again, are kind of straddling the same point or one kind of point. And specifically, I think this year, again, the struggle between, again, specifically in the time of Galus, in the time, a very difficult time to celebrate Pesach. So there are two different themes. And on the one hand, again, with the second explanation, like, there's room to say kinos in a certain way. I mean, not to say the kinos that we say on Tisha B'Av, but, like, at least according to the Baal Maase Hashem, I mean, his Perush on Haggadah, this was a kinah. This is not a happy, you know, type of line. This is a very, very somber type of line, and we're acknowledging that we're missing something. However, on the other hand, maybe there's something more powerful, the dafka within the galus, there's something even more that we have to rely upon. There's a greatness of Hashem that we are able to point out in an even greater way on Pesach itself. And as we you know, head towards Pesach and think about, you know, this paragraph, think about all the questions, and there are many other answers that are very good answers, so definitely, you know, don't limit it to these points. To you know, be considering these ideas, be considering these questions, looking for different answers, to trying to find meaning in this year's Pesach, and also to just continue to deepen our understanding of Pesach in general.